Good morning, and welcome to this virtual service of West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, affectionately known as WUF. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my great pleasure to serve this warm and loving congregation. I use the pronouns she and her. We welcome and celebrate all who choose to worship with us, whoever you are. Wherever you were born, whatever your age, your abilities, your talents, the color of your skin, whomever you love, however you identify your gender, if you choose to, you are welcome here with us this morning. You're welcome if you come today with joy of this beautiful summer day, or with your heart broken, with all the events of the past week, the own struggles of your own heart. You are all welcome, no matter where you are and who you are. And if you're new to this community, we especially extend a welcome to you. We invite you to go to our website and our Facebook page and learn more about us. And we invite you to join us for coffee hour. You can email our administrator, and she will send you the link to our coffee hour. And for everyone else, we really encourage you to come to coffee hour. It is a time when we do joys and sorrows. It's a time when we share our thoughts about the service. And we go into breakout rooms and just get to touch in a little more deeply with one another. That's really important during this time when we're physically separate. And be sure to look at all your announcements and your order of service to know how you can be more connected to our community. I will light this chalice this morning with the help of my daughter, Ella Avery. We light this chalice. This reading is from the Reverend Lois Van Leer. We light this chalice on the brink of a new year, letting go of what has been, open and hopeful for what may come, renewed, restored, ready to live fully, life fully anew. Let us move forward with intention. Please join us in reading our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. Spirit of love and life, hold in love the people in California, Oregon, and other places who flee fire and smoke. Hold in love the people in Louisiana and Arkansas and Texas, dealing with floods and fallen trees and homes in the aftermath of Hurricane Laura. May they find strength to get through their days and survive. Hold Jacob Blake and his family and the family of those killed in the protests by a white nationalist in love. May love and justice for black lives prevail. Care for those in economic hardship, for those grieving the deaths of loved ones, particularly from COVID-19, and for children, caregivers, and teachers who navigate the challenges of the new school year during this coming week. Take a moment and say out loud the names of the people that you are especially holding in your heart this morning. And now take a moment in prayer or meditation or reflection, as is your tradition. This summer, I danced with my family. I collaborated with my daughter on a children's book. And I took a break from COVID-19, police brutality, and other oppressions. and climate change disasters. I stayed engaged with the issues. I did. I read How to Be an Anti-Racist by Imbram X. Kendi. I read Widening the Circle of Concern, the report by the UUA's Commission on Institutional Change on how to become a truly multicultural faith. I watched Twitter feeds as federal agents attacked and bullied Portland protesters. And I even went downtown once and meditated with the Buddhists. I called Congress and I wrote Kate Brown. I signed letters. I faithfully read the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Willamette Weekly. I attended to the painful debates about whether children should attend school this fall. I read as unemployment benefits and eviction protections ended, and Congress bickered and went on vacation. So it wasn't that I didn't know. Instead, there was just something about the sun and my porch and the blowing trees. I would find myself staring at the large fronds of fir trees just off my porch as they gently swayed across the blue sky. There was also something about my garden. It was the best I've ever grown in years, and produced sweet cucumber after sweet cucumber. My children flowed in and out of my days and weeks. We kayaked and swam and played games late into the night. My daughter and I baked peach cobbler weekly, or sometimes more often, as is our summer tradition. We watched Hamilton more than once. Bits and phrases of those songs got lodged in my head, causing us to replay the soundtrack daily. My daughter learned all the words to I Won't Throw Away My Shot. I devoured a very British multi-generational mystery novel by one of my favorite writers, Kate Morton. It wasn't that I didn't care about what was happening in the world. I did. It was just that there was something about how beautiful the world is. And I was loving it. I leaned back and I just rested into loving the world. As I rested, it was as if the pain from the tragedy, all the uncertainty, the delusion, and sometimes cruelty eased, much like sore muscles in a hot bath. I have always felt the question posed by E.B. White and the Reverend Richard Gilbert in this morning's reading. Do I wake in the morning to save the world or to savor it? The weight of the world seems so heavy just now. Just this week, it is so heavy. California is burning more savagely than it has ever burned. One of the worst hurricanes in recorded history battered the southeast. The fire, the water, the wind. This was predicted. It has been predicted for decades. If by that far out future that was 2020, we were told, if we did nothing about carbon emissions, the world would flood and it would burn. And that future is here now. Another unarmed black man was shot in the back by the police. And a white teenager walked into that same town with a gun slung around his neck. And he was not arrested until after he killed two people and injured others. It was as if millions of people rising up to say Black Lives Matter in June were screaming in a way that signified nothing. The economy continues to devastate the poorest. 21% of Black and brown adults in the United States of America went hungry last week. Meanwhile, it became clearer than ever that in the United States, citizens do not agree on basic facts, such as if we are having a pandemic, or if it was a minor thing that is now over, or if the economy is flourishing, or if it is not, or if the president is pro or anti-immigrant. Calling into question how democracy or governing across difference is even possible. On this Sunday, the last Sunday in August, for years and years, I have celebrated chocolate and fruit communion with the congregations that I have served. This service is always a celebration of joy and gratitude. As each person comes forward, they are offered chocolate and fruit with the words, "For you, the sweetness of life." This season is the perfect time to celebrate such sweetness. Red tomatoes weigh down their green vines, and peaches come soft and melting off the trees. So much else ripens and comes sweet to the lips this time of year. How truly can life be but miraculously good? It calls us to sing hallelujah, to offer praise, to savor this life, to love it. This seems the obvious reaction to late August in the Northwest. I am such a lucky and privileged person. Where I live, and where the people I most love live, there is no fire, and no raging wind and surging water. COVID-19 seems tame in my communities. People have suffered, but lived, and most haven't suffered much. I am in no danger of being killed by the police. I am not hungry. So I savor the joy of life easily. This summer, I was able to turn down the pain of the world and simply rest in my love for it. I had the privilege to do that. Richard Gilbert speaks of feeling the guilt at my bounty. And I understand that. I watched the burning, flooding, and delusions this week from the comfort of my mother's home in Spokane. I worked in her secluded backyard, where you see me now, and only left to intertube down the Spokane River and eat my oldest and closest friends. I sometimes feel guilty at my own bounty, and my own privileged ability to just rest and love this amazing world. But I cannot stop savoring and loving. How I appreciate Reverend Gilbert's cry in his poem, "God of justice, if such there be, take from me the burden of my question. Let me praise my plentitude without limit. Let me cast from my eyes all troubled folk." But of course, Gilbert, the fine UU minister that he is, cannot. He writes, "No, you will not let me be. You will not stop my ears to the cries of the hurt and the hungry. You will not close my eyes to the sight of the afflicted. I can rest, but like Gilbert, I cannot close my eyes in tears. Most of us cannot. Our hearts break. We are so sad. We are angry. We are confused. We flail. We despair. The world is full of suffering, even if we, in this moment, do not suffer. Our eyes do not close. But what of the question, to save the world or to savor it? How do we plan the day? What do you say, Gilbert asks the God of Justice in his poem. Then speaks the answer. To save, one must serve. To savor, one must save. That one will not stand without the other. That is the truth, of course. It is our love of the world that makes our heart break. We may savor an organic orange picked just yesterday, bought at the farmer's market for $5 a pound. But what of the mother who does not have $2 to buy a bag of cheap rice to feed her children? Doesn't that family also deserve such a peach? Don't we want everyone to appreciate such bounty? Our home may be free of smoke. Don't we want everyone to have that? I agree with Gilbert. Savoring and saving are two sides of life. We are called to love and called to save what we love. Still, he does not answer White's question. How do I plan the day? I don't know about your email, but mine is full of opportunities. I can attend organizing calls and webinars. I can read articles and listen to videos. I can send money. I can sign petitions and make phone calls. I can go on marches and rallies. My television beckons with movies to help me understand the pain of the world. My friends in Kindle recommend books to unpack the suffering. Twitter and Facebook give me bite-sized analysis. The troubles of our world are so large. How do I decide what to do? I find it can be easy to shut down, to fall into mindlessness and frustration and apathy, or an endless focus on our own situation. To all the time focus on ourselves and our own need for rest, though becomes a thin, cloying sweetness. It becomes the myth of consumerism that surrounds us everywhere. Our individual happiness, we are told in that myth, is what matters the most. It can seduce us. It can offer us a way to look away when we don't know what to do. Or it just seems so difficult. But to love what we love and rest into it, we need this so much sometimes. I needed it this summer. When the uncertainty and fear and pain come, we need the nourishment of joy and beauty. We need laughter and we need fun. We were born to love life. We were also born to create and to change. We were born to connect to each other and to the natural world. We were born to weave the interconnected web. There is no full, complete life without both savoring and saving the world. The savoring energizes our life with what is good. Saving, the weaving, what is ripped and torn, gives us purpose and meaning. So how do we plan the day? We make time for it all. That is really what we are meant to do. to live our hours in the deep appreciation of life, and to give our hours to healing the torn strands in the web of life. Will we heal the web? Will we fix it? The suffering, the climate, our democracy? Will we grieve less, rage less? Can we make it better? I don't know. We don't know. When we plan the day, the outcomes don't matter. What we do matters. How we live our lives matters. Because we are human beings, and we are called to love. To love ourselves. To love our earth. To love each other. When we love, we savor and we save. That is what love is. To savor and to save. And that is why I am so grateful to have returned from my time away to be back in this community with you. What we do in religious community is remind each other what love is and to help each other be loving people. How easy it is to forget to savor and rebuild the world, however. It is so easy to eat without noticing how pleasurable food is. To walk without paying attention to the wonder that is around us. To not spend time with the people we love the most, or to not really attend to them when we do. To respond to what we hear with fear and anger, and to despair. We so need each other. We need each other to laugh, to listen, to build, to create, to save. We need each other in order to plan the day. I am so grateful to be with you. And that gratitude makes today a joyful day. One where we each can be blessed with the sweetness of life. Even if today I cannot offer you chocolate and fruit, I offer you metaphorical chocolate and fruit. And maybe you will have some of your own today. I recommend it highly. Because together we savor the sweet. Together we save what is broken. And so today is truly a joyful day. Let us go into the rest of our day with our joy, ready to serve and heal a hurting world. We extinguish this flame, but not the warmth of our community or our commitment to its values. These we hold in our hearts until we meet again.